Chapter 11. My faithful followers trooped through the house, out the back door, and into the herb garden. Its tangy fragrance engulfed us as Mom, with Jackson at her side, beamed her flashlight onto the plants and explained the uses of various herbs and bushes. "Lemon balm is good for tea," she said, "and it smells nice, too. I've made an ointment from these gray mullein leaves. Sage can be made into an occasional hair rinse, as well as used in the Thanksgiving stuffing. But even though these lily of the valley have beautiful little bell-shaped blooms, they are poisonous, as are many herbs and flowers. It's best to have a healthy respect for them all and find out exactly what they will or won't do." We moved slowly past Mom as she spoke, walking along the stepping stones under branches of dogwood trees into the old orchard. Here I stopped long enough to tell a story about gathering apples with my Granny Grace when I was a little girl and the tasty applesauce she made. I remembered the scent of wood smoke mingled with the enticing aroma of the apples, which simmered all day over a wood fire in the backyard. We wound past the orchard's gnarled limbs and were in the cemetery. "We aren't sure who these people are," I told my followers, shining my flashlight over the leaning gray headstones. "They may have been early settlers or perhaps Cherokee people." Like earthbound fireflies, circles of light from the flashlight slid over the ground, causing shadows of the headstones to dance across the grass. The crowd fell silent. A rising wind sighed through surrounding trees, and flashes of lightning shivered across the sky. Something moved in the tree I stood under. An owl lifted off from a limb and flew silently away. Without meaning to, I had stopped beneath the cottonwood that grew close to the unmarked grave. I did not believe in ghosts, but that lonely grave with no name to mark it gave me an uneasy feeling. Amy and her talk of a ghost walk. My childhood fear of the unknown, the coming storm, and the darkness of the night grasped me with invisible fingers. I was through with this. I wanted nothing more than the warmth and light of my mother's kitchen. From somewhere in the darkness of trees and undergrowth, a moan began. It grew louder until it sounded like the wail of someone in extreme pain. The hairs on my arms stood up, and I could not have moved if I tried. "What was that?" Viola whispered, breaking the paralysis. Flashlights flickered through the trees and bushes as we searched for the source of the unearthly scream. "I didn't know there were any left in these woods, but that, ladies and gentlemen, was the scream of a mountain lion. Some folks call them cougars or panthers." Mort's usually authoritative voice sounded shaky. Mort was right. I had heard that chilling wail once before and would never forget the wild cat that slipped across the road in front of me in the dark woods not far from here. It was time to end this walk. Doris spun on her heel. "I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going back to the house. Whether that was a mountain lion or whatever, I don't want to meet it." Without warning, something dropped from the cottonwood which grew over that unmarked grave. Something long and white. Amy screamed. A zigzag of lightning slashed the murky sky, followed by a deafening peal of thunder. As if this were the signal, the clouds opened up and rain poured down. "Run!" Amy shouted. "Don't panic," I yelled. "You'll smack into something and fall. It's only a little rain." No one heard me. Or, if they did, they paid no attention. Dodging tree limbs and rocks, the small group of adventurers bolted for the safety of their cars. Our evening stroll became a stormy stampede.